Deer Plugged In. You in on this? Toyota's versatile SUVs roll up their sleeves and take on tough jobs, dress up for a night out, or haul your family and friends with their spacious interiors. And they're available with some real sweet tech. Want a hybrid SUV? Oh yeah, they got those too. All with a slew of standard features so you won't break the bank. Get the juice at Toyota.com, folks.
Visit your Front Range Toyota stores today. Toyota, let's go places.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
We here at DNVR are really excited to now be partnered with Ball. Yes, as in Ball Arena, where the Nuggets play. As in the company that's been leading global sustainability efforts for decades. Also, as in the world's largest aluminum can and packaging manufacturer. Right now, Ball is looking to hire here in Golden. You can check them out at #workatball. Online, you can apply for a position by texting Golden to 77222 or going to jobs.ball.com. They're looking for people who have technical and mechanical skills to help them manufacture aluminum cans and bottles, which you probably know that they've been doing for a long time. They are an iconic brand in that respect. Some cool things about Ball. They've been practicing diversity and inclusion for years, while other major companies just talk about it as a workplace idealism. Their culture of belonging has been noticed by the Human Rights Campaign. They have a corporate equality index score of 100%. And once you work at Ball, there are lots of groups to join to represent your unique background. If you want to meet people, reach new career heights, get support, Ball supports groups like Society of Women Engineers and many others. So if you want to work at Ball right here in their Golden plant, text Golden to 77222 or go to jobs.ball.com and search for Golden.
Oh my.
Is that Casual Friday?
Let Faco grow! How you feeling, Eric?
You know what's the worst part is that like it starts off like pretty strong, and then as soon as that guitar work hits, it just gets so soft and terrible. I'm doing great, man. How you doing?
I just saw that Casual Friday music turn Eric's mood from terrible to really good.
Well, Eric hates happiness. He hates joy.
Yeah, I hate shitty music also. So that's one of the things about me that we're learning today. I was stuck. I was having internet issues. It's out of my control.
The worst.
Gross me out. But this, also out of...
And he's gone.
On
don't you. Even take him off. Leave him on there frozen on like that you. In shame as he sits here. I don't know if I can fully blame his bad Wi-Fi on bad vibes, but I can't say it's not the result of bad vibes.
I think he was about to make an amazing point right there. Just look at his face. Like, you can tell something awesome is going to come out of his mouth right there. I just
definitely not awesome. He's sarcastic, something like that. But guys, this Casual Friday, our internet is very casual today at the DNVR bar, but we also have a fantastic guest from Nugget Serbia. Let's go ahead and bring him on, Mr. Milan Miljkovic. Man, I think I did that one too. I nailed it the first time.
That sounded pretty good to me.
Hey, you did great. You did great. Well said. And finally, you guys have me here.
Yeah, excited to have you on, man. Now we have completed the Nugget Serbia quartet. If you guys don't know, so we have a lot of Serbian fans, and I'm sure most, I don't know if there's anybody that follows us from Serbia that doesn't know this, but Milan is one of four hosts of the Nugget Serbia podcast, and it's just like this one, but in Serbian.
Yep.
They even have, they, it's honestly, we probably should look into copyright infringement, because it is very similar. Even the graphics, even the many numerous graphics I see. Although I will say, I think their graphics might be in some ways more hilarious. My favorite one I saw is that there is some graphic where, Milan, you sometimes have hot takes, I hear.
Yep.
So there's one where I think Voya is spraying down Milan, who's on fire with a fireman's hose.
Yeah, there is a few ones with my takes. They are really, really famous. So, yeah.
I think we're going to get into...
The internet's looking great, Milan, I just have to say. Your connection is perfect. So.
Yeah, my connection is
off to a great start.
Let's give Eric another try. Let's try to bring him in here and see if he doesn't derail this a fifth time for today, Kel.
Look how pissed he is now.
Dude, it's brutal. My internet, it sucks. I don't even know if you can hear me. It's terrible, and I blame the intro song.
So ridiculous. If you guys don't know, like, we pay for the top line internet connection at the DNVR bar, because obviously we're doing stuff all the time, and somehow it's the worst internet connection. We pay the most money for the worst internet. It doesn't make any sense, but it happens.
I'm gonna move. Yeah, I'm clicking in and out. I'm gonna move. I'll be back. You'll see a different surrounding. I'm gonna see if I can get better.
All right, so just to kind of preview, we'll keep this thing moving, guys, because we do have a lot to get to today with Milan, and we're talking about some hot takes. We're going to talk about two guys that I think will produce some perspective from Milan, but that maybe might venture on the border of hot takes, including asking about the future of Michael Porter Jr., the future of Will Barton, as well as to get his perspective on Nikola Jokic and just kind of, you know, what should be expected of him in the coming years. But I want to start with something even more fun. And Kale, you could pop in here real quick. Do you have the Photoshop document, or do I need to pull this one up on my end? I think Kale might have froze too. Look at our producer is also frozen. Like, what a show. All right, I'm producing this one here. Because one of the things I wanted to have you on, Milan, just to kind of get loose okay. and kind of have some fun conversation is to talk about, I am so impressed with the Milwaukee Bucks this year. And I'm so impressed with Giannis, because Giannis had to give so much to get that one. He had to play his best basketball to win it. And I feel like we're in an era where some guys, I'm not going to mention any names, James Harden, Kevin Durant, might have gone to areas where they didn't have to play their best in order to win and create these teams that didn't have to dig deep. So I want you to rank every champion since 2011 based on – oh, look, he does have the graphic – based on how impressed you were with their performance to win. Does that make sense?
Yeah, sure. I was today I was just going for it to search and see – because in my mind I forget since 2011 the champions, but I can do it. I can do it. I'm ready to do it now.
So let's start. Let's start with sort of from 2011 to 2021. Which championship in your eyes was the least impressive?
For me, maybe Golden State 2019.
I think
or
that's
17. Both of the that 2 years is really not that quite impressive, because they're clearly the best team in the league. So, you know,
I think 2018 was even less impressive because they were better.
Yeah.
They were better. So I'm with you. That when I fill out my list, I'm the exact same way. 2017 and 18 was like they weren't even challenged. It wasn't that impressive. Nobody necessarily played that great. Kevin Durant made a bunch of shots and looked awesome, but there's nobody that you were like, wow, that was their best game ever.
Yeah. True. Definitely true.
What do you think, Harrison?
I agree. It's probably the 2018 Warriors, or it's the 2020 Lakers in the fake championship in the bubble. That might be the least impressive ever.
Come on.
I love it. By the way, people watching this are going to say, oh, that Warriors team would have smoked everyone. This isn't about who was better. This is about which one impressed you personally the most. It's a purely subjective list. All right. So 2018, you think 2017 then would be number 10?
Probably that, or maybe Miami 2012 and 13. But I will go with Golden State.
All right. 2017 is coming in 10th, the second least most impressive one. Do you have that? Oh, yeah, you pulled them both together. There it is, Kale. All right, 2017. All right, what about number 9?
I will go for Miami.
2012.
Miami. Yeah. Or so 13, maybe. I don't know. Maybe 13 is less impressive, but never mind. You can go with 12.
The only I would say 12. I would say 12. Because they beat that Thunder team that was so young.
Well,
it's their first time there.
But that's just the finals. The thing about 2012 was you did have a 7-game series with the Celtics. And and that was a really like I don't know that any player has ever faced a bigger legacy game than LeBron did in game 6 against the Celtics on the road down 3-2. So that's the only reason I'm a little bit more impressed with 2012 is they did have to, like, LeBron had to dig. That game 6 was one of the best games of his entire career, and it came against elimination. So I have a little bit more. That one's a little bit, quite a bit higher for me. All right, what do you have next here? 2012 was yours. What do you have next?
I would put the Los Angeles Lakers at 8.
Okay, 2020 Lakers this last year. I like it.
You know, I can say it's the least impressive because it could easily be Denver. So, you know, I can't do that.
But no, but here's the thing. If Denver would have done it, they would have beaten Kawhi Leonard and Paul George and LeBron and Anthony Davis. Like, they would have had to have done something. The Lakers, I'm with you. Like, Anthony Davis played really well. He had some really big games and he had the shot. So there were some moments. But like LeBron, I'm not sure I could tell you off the top of my head a single LeBron game from that run. I'm not saying he wasn't great, but there's no game that I could look to and I say, oh, game 5. Everybody remembers game 5, whatever round. Like, there weren't any of those.
The impressive part of the Lakers' run is they just were never challenged throughout those entire playoffs. They beat Portland 4-1. They beat Houston 4-1. They beat the Nuggets 4-1. And then somehow the Heat pushed them to 6. They rolled through the playoffs.
Yeah. Anthony Davis and Rondo was the one who destroyed us.
Yeah, Rondo was like a top five player in the league.
Yep.
All right, who's next?
Let's go. Miami 2013,
So this one does have iconic performances. You know, it has the Ray Allen shot. It has that crazy game 6, that crazy game 7. Actually, that whole series was crazy. That entire series was a dogfight. To me, that one was pretty impressive just because of how close it was and how – and it's weird to say, LeBron had to play his best in that fight. Even though the numbers didn't pop off, he didn't have like a 50-point game or anything. He still had to play his best because of how good Kawhi Leonard was, how good the Spurs were at forcing him to do things he didn't want. So I was pretty impressed with the Heat in that year. But, okay, number 6 –
I can go with Milwaukee.
Wow, this last year's Milwaukee team. Okay. Yeah. Okay. So it sounds like you're moderately impressed. Not that you're unimpressed. Every final
they really bring me joy this year in the basketball area because our Olympic team was destroyed. Nuggets lost to Phoenix. And I really don't like Chris Paul, so.
Giannis you're in the right place, Milan.
Giannis brings me joy on multiple levels, so, you know. And I really expected them to win, and they won 4 games in a row, so I count that as a sweep. So.
It is a backdoor sweep.
Yeah.
Where does Giannis count in your? Where does he rank in your favorite players list?
He's really really up there. I don't count Jokic, of course, but he. He's maybe top 3.
Yeah, I agree. He might be number 2 for me. And I don't even like watching him play that much. Like, he's fun to watch, but I
love everything about Giannis except how he plays.
That's so quite honest.
Yeah, well said. We have the commentators from our region here who they were in live at this final, and I was in contact with one of them, and really he. Adore Giannis, you know, but he really, really hates his game.
Yeah. Here's why I think Milwaukee's way higher on my list. A couple of reasons. One, Giannis had to play the best game of his career to win it. Like, that game 6 to me is the best game he's ever played. And that's how often does a player play the best game on a finals closeout? I don't know if it's ever happened, you know, that's been the case. But also
– Bob Pettit. I heard a lot of Bob Pettit talk over the last week or so.
Just so dumb. Like, what are we talking about here? But the other thing about the Bucks this year was, do you remember when the seeding came out? We all said, oh, man, the Bucks got screwed. They've got Miami, and then they've got to play Brooklyn, and then they've got the 76. They got the toughest route to get to the finals. And it turns out they won all – they did all of that. Like – to me, that was a really tough route that they had to go, and to come out ahead, the amount of close games they had to go, you know, to go through. I'm very impressed with Milwaukee.
Yeah, but I think both of those two teams has, you know, they have a little bit luck with injuries from the other side. So, you know, they and of course Giannis was play hurt in and he overcome that. So
right.
Maybe it's a little hard, but I already have on my mind that it's on the six. So, you know,
Eric's
I'm gonna not change that.
Okay, all righty. What do you think of this list so far, Eric? No, is he muted? Is he off?
Yeah,
oh
my muted. God! We're talking about least impressive. Is that what's happening?
Well, yes. we're working our way towards the most impressive champion.
Your appearance on this show today has been very unimpressive.
No, I'm the straight LVP.
Worse than the 2018 Warriors.
This is this is bubble quality. This is bubble caliber.
So funny.
Let's see. Let me do a quick scanneroo. Yeah, I feel like Milwaukee to me was really impressive. Let's continue. I don't want to derail the conversation.
Now we're in the top five, so let's get number five.
2015 Golden State Warriors.
Okay, that's interesting. That's interesting because to me, if you remember, if you go back, ESPN had 20 people pick the winner for preseason, and only one person picked the Warriors. It was Ethan Strauss. So they kind of came out of nowhere. And became, it would be like if the Nuggets, you know, this year just like dominated and won. So I'm very impressed with 2015.
Yeah. But if you think about the finals that year, though, Kyrie played one game.
Yep.
Yeah. Kevin Love did not play in the finals.
Right.
That, if you look at the Cavs roster from that finals, their second best player might have been Timofey Mozgov.
Hell yeah.
Like it was either Mozgov or Tristan Thompson was their second best player.
Yeah, so is that why, Milan? Is that why, because the finals?
Yeah. I just, you know, I rank it because I was watching the finals and the score in the finals, and I didn't really pay attention to road, you know. Mm. But, you know, I guess I could do it a little bit better. But, no, I think this last four is for me, is great.
You got to have conviction here, Milan. Just say it.
I don't.
Adam will back you down out of any
place. I'm going to bully him. I'm going to have him
bully you in the block, dude.
Yeah, he already do that, so I don't know. I'm cool now, yeah.
It's your first appearance. You're not ready for the cauldron that is Adam Mata as the host.
I'm like Shaq when a rookie comes in. You know, I'm going to elbow this guy.
I sustained first blow, so I'm okay now.
All right, there you go.
Everyone has a plan until they get punched by Adam.
Yeah.
That's so funny. Now, here's the thing about the Warriors. 2015 reinvented the game of basketball. To me, it's incredibly impressive because of that, and the fact that they became such a juggernaut that it became easy is actually what part of what's so impressive about it. They didn't do anything crazy. They just rose up and became a juggernaut naturally. So I have a little more respect, I think. But you're right. All right, let's go to number four.
Okay, number four, I will go with San Antonio, 2014.
San Antonio, I love this, one of my favorite
slaying
teams.
The dynasty.
Slaying the dynasty, indeed.
Yeah, they really. I was really cheering for them in those years, so I was really happy when they won.
If we did a seeding of like the last 30 champions and, you know, played a tournament, I would pick the Spurs, 2014 Spurs, in a first round upset because I know they would get ranked way too low, and they were elite defensively on a string, and they had the best passing I've ever seen from a team. Like, they just passed the ball so well. Like, to me, that team was really good. And then what makes them extra sort of impressive for me is that they lost in the most painful fashion imaginable the year before and then bounced back from it. 99 out of 100 teams just fold after that year.
They came back to absolutely just slaughter Miami in the finals. Like, that finals went five games. The only game that was close was game two that the Heat won. Every other game was a double-digit win for San Antonio.
That series was more of a beatdown than like any of the 17 or 18 Warriors ones. Even though that, you know, they were quick, or, you know, whatever, quick series. Still, the Heat in 2014 were the most like turned around. Just had no idea what they were supposed to be doing.
I remember in the lead up to those finals, the narrative was like, when dynasties crumble, they crumble quickly, and like that's exactly what happened.
But I'm telling you, it wasn't because Miami was bad. It was because the Spurs were just like, we figured this team out. We're going to prove it.
Yeah, this is always your example of like why you shouldn't really read into what people say about the Nuggets. You're like, dude, the Spurs were a dynasty. They were one of the most dominant teams ever, and they're for still forever more underrated. Like,
so just true. People,
even though they did the thing, that should be the thing that they are you know remembered by. It's still like, they weren't the Lakers.
Yeah. Yeah, totally. All right, Milan, number three.
I'll go with Toronto.
Oh, wow. Whoa. This one really – so this is the one you have that really surprised me. All right, explain. Why are they so high?
I you know, no one expect them to win. They got Kawhi go to – traded to Toronto. And I was really, really impressed with him and and all that, you know. He won the title for Toronto Raptors. No one expected them to win, you know. They defeat Philadelphia. That's really, really
bounce game. That was the greatest thing ever. That was the first time I ever became aware of our new nemesis Spike. And he like said he was like talking smack about Denver for some reason. And then like my first clapback tweet ever to him, I was like, I and hope that, you see this forever in your dreams. Bounce, 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 bounce.
Yeah, and that was that look and in their eyes when that ball come in, I was so happy.
But so then they played against a Durantless Warriors team and a Klay Thompson as one. So they also got a little bit of injury luck, you know, into the finals.
Yeah.
It's funny. It's funny. Like when you go through this, every single finals, there's like massive injuries. We're like, but this year, like everyone's like, well, there were injuries this year. It's like that's literally every year. That's how that's how basketball works.
All right, number two. Very curious how you broke 1-2.
Yeah,
here.
No, that was the hard part. The hardest part. How I rank them, but I will go with Dallas on two.
That's not high. This is my 1-2. That's the order I have. Well. Yeah, Dallas. All right, explain this one to me.
Well, Nowitzki, you know, I was the two most famous players for me back in those days was Peđa Stojaković and Dirk Nowitzki. And Peđa actually won title with Dirk Nowitzki in that year, so that was clearly no brainer for me, you know. They defeat Lakers, so Peja got his revenge for 2002 when they stole that Western Finals from Sacramento, and I was really, really impressed how they defeat first Lakers, then Miami.
That Dirk team would have been like Giannis's playoff performance this year if to win it he would have beaten the Lakers. You know, because that the Mavs had to beat the LeBron's Heat team. So, but he was just like Giannis in that he was, you know, you couldn't stop him. He was clutch. He was everything in that one. And he did it against, you know, two of the best players of that entire era at the height of their prime. So I think this is an easy number two for me. There's no question.
And it looks really, really much, really prettier than Giannis. His game look little, sure. Really, really pretty.
Yeah, for sure.
And the one was I don't like it, but it's that Cleveland 2016. When I need to say LeBron was number one, that's really not easy for me, but you know.
Did you hate LeBron even back then?
No. Actually I was rooting for Cleveland in every finals against Golden State. I don't know why.
Yeah.
But that year particularly I was rooting for Cleveland.
So here's why I wanted to do this thought experiment today, because you guys, I don't know if you listened to Bill Simmons back in the day. He used to have the thing where like championships, the Larry O'Brien should be sized proportionally to how impressive your championship was. So like, you know, maybe that 2018 Warriors championship, that's a little Larry OB. It's a little paperweight, sits it's right adorable. On your desk. Yeah, and then maybe like 2016, because I'm with you. I think that's the most impressive one because it took both LeBron and Kyrie Irving playing some of the best basketball games of their lives for three straight games to win that series. It was so impressive. They had to dig deep. The margins were razor thin. One mistake and they lose any of those games. And so to me, that one's an enormous championship. And the reason I bring this up, I had the Bucks in 2021 significantly higher. I think I might have had them third or fourth or somewhere up there. But the point is, afterwards, Giannis's comments, I keep bringing this up, but him talking about it could have been easy, this or that. Everybody knows this. Everybody knows that not all championships are created equal, yet everybody still is doing the super team thing. And I think when we lay it out here, even though this experiment's a little weird and we maybe have the orders different – we all understand that 2016 and 2018 are not the same. Those don't count equally for players, and it, by any means. Such a great point. Guy. Everybody was quiet. It's just wow.
Adam, that reminds me. I agree.
I actually see some parallels between Dirk in 2011 and Giannis this year.
Me too.
Because Dirk in 2011 wins the championship. His whole career's looked at differently because he won that championship after losing it in 06. Giannis, same thing. Now that Giannis has a championship, he's going to be an all-time great. Now, if you never get that ring, you can just never be in that rare air. So I think for both those guys, it changes everything about how their careers are and will be talked about.
Can you imagine if Dirk won in 2006, he loses in the finals. It's humiliating, right? And can you imagine if the next year he went to the Lakers with Kobe and just won like three? Like it would, he would have three championships, but it would just wouldn't mean the same. We look at this one and we're like, Dirk has the biggest or second biggest championship, Larry O.B., of anybody in the last decade. And that's cool. Yeah. That's really cool.
You know what's funny is that my life has changed so much since meeting you guys. Many ways worse, some ways better. But looking back in all of these, like, I didn't typically like follow the finals all the way through. Like once the Nuggets were out, I was like so disgusted with basketball. I was like, I don't
love it.
Whatever. Like
LeBron, I wouldn't expect anything less of you.
Yeah. So like this year in the last couple of years, I've watched it like much more closely. I've been much more impacted by the NBA finals that didn't contain the Denver Nuggets. This is a new experience for me. So I don't know. Maybe I'll have more in 10 years. I'll have very strong feelings about all of these finals like you guys do.
Kale, can you bring the graphic back up real quick? I wanted to ask Harrison if you had any ones you really disagreed with here. For me, it's 2019 Toronto. That one would have been down in like six or seven.
Yeah. The 2014 Spurs, like that might – I mean, it is fourth on here. I'd probably put it third, though. So I don't really disagree that much.
Big quibble. Big.
I know. Classic me, right? Coming in with a super hot take.
You're like 10-11, 2017, 2018. Let's
No, the 2014 Spurs, though. Like, if you go back and just watch a highlight mix of those games, the most beautiful basketball, arguably, that's ever been played. They're on another level.
The 2013 and 16 finals were probably the best played, like both teams playing great basketball that I think of any of these two lists. I mean, 2013 Spurs and Heat were both like locked in. 2016 Warriors and Cavs were locked in. So those were fantastic ones. What about you, Eric? Do you have any strong takes about Milan's ranking?
I mean, I was very impressed by the Bucks this year. I don't know how that – I mean kind of looking this over. No, let's just say no. Move on.
Perfect. All right, let's take our first break. On the other side, though, we're going to look at the Olympics. Milan's going to help us talk about the different teams and handicap what DraftKings says the odds are for all these teams. We're going to look at that, and Milan's going to tell us who he thinks is going to win.
Solace Meds, guys, has some awesome deals going on right now for DNVR members. When you drop the code DNVR20 at checkout, you're going to receive 20% off. And if you're at that Wheat Ridge location, you're going to get a free Solace bar or King Cone with your purchase. They've got four locations, one in Wheat Ridge, like I said, one in Fort Collins, one off of Broadway, one just blocks away from the DNVR bar on East Colfax. So make sure to drop by Solace Meds. They got awesome deals going on throughout July. All green dot concentrates are 20% off. You can get a 10 set pre-roll or 10 milligram edible when you spend $50. Another awesome deal right there. And again, use the code DMVR20 to get 20% off at checkout at Solace Meds today. Also, if you're looking for a dentist in the Denver area, check out Green Mountain Dental Group. A lot of us at DNVR go to Green Mountain Dental Group to get everything from teeth cleanings to wisdom teeth pulled to cavities filled. They do a great job. When you schedule a cleaning, x-ray, and exam at Green Mountain Dental Group, you're going to get a free Sonicare toothbrush today. A top-line electric toothbrush. The one that a lot of dentists recommend, actually. The Sonicare. Really expensive, really high quality. So get one of those for free when you schedule a cleaning, x-ray, and exam at Green Mountain Dental Group.
I kind of think it's the same 4 out of 5 dentists that are recommending Trident.
What?
I was talking with a dentist yesterday.
Were you?
who said the Quip sucks. The Sonicare is awesome.
There you go. Wow. What a report.
Yeah.
Some great intel right there.
Yeah. It's trade up that Quip for a Sonicare.
I'm going to bring this off for a second here. All right, Milan. So first of all, you know, we know Serbia missed out. Is Serbia over that, or is it still sort of a lingering
thing? No. We are definitely not over it. I'm not over it.
Okay.
So, yeah, see, the second you asked, the pain I saw wash over his face.
It's really painful subject for me. Really, really. Not just for me, from every single Serb out there who love basketball. And we all love basketball, so...
And it wasn't just Jokic, you know, it was kind of how the NBA season broke and you still had, you know, guys playing for the Hawks and different things. Like, it was the team that failed to qualify was, missing a lot.
There is no excuse, you know, that team that played, they needed to win that Italian team with ease, you know. I don't know what happened. There is a lot of but we have... Vasa Micic was injured in that last game. That's report. I don't know is that or something else, because we never find out. There are a lot of tactical errors and other stuff in that game. So, you know, it's really painful. Jokic is not the reason we didn't go to the Olympic. Bogdanović didn't show up. Bjelica and Teodosic was really bad, you know, that last game. And all tournament was kind of lazy, you know. We won games, but it really didn't look great. So, you know,
Kokoshkov the coach, is that right?
Yeah, Kokoshkov is coach, and I
how did he do? How did he do?
You know, Kokoshkov is a really good coach, you know, but he is not coach for Serbian national team. He approached the game like it's NBA game, you know, and that don't work with our players, with our mindset. We need, how I put it, a father figure, you know, as a coach like Željko Bradović.
Let's go out and have a catch after the game.
Yeah.
You need a motivator.
You need angry old man who will slap you across the face if you do something.
Oh, wow. Father is a little different. That's not exactly what you were thinking, Eric, when you thought, go have a catch. Like, no.
He's a father figure. He needs to punch him right in the stomach and make him do
push-ups when you're bad, you know?
You guys need to watch the two of our best coaches ever. That is Željko Bradović and Svetislav Pešić on internet, and to see what I'm talking about.
I remember not too long ago when Michael Malone was rumored to be an advisor for the Serbian national team. Not too long ago.
Yeah, that was that. You know, but that was talk of it if Jokic played or something like that.
Sure.
I don't know, but you know, there was when your coach don't make any technical fouls on the game. He's so calm. You know, you play in your own stadium in your own country. He was like he was playing a 30-second game on the regular season NBA. You know.
Right. Like if your coach doesn't pick up a couple technical fouls, is he even,
trying? Dude, he's even trying. I love this. I love this. He just didn't get in the face. And
you know why I speak that? Because there is a problem with referees in the FIBA and EuroLeague. Referees don't, they don't get invited to biggest events. And all referees that are now selected are not really good, you know. They made a lot of errors.
So I actually really prefer the FIBA reffing over the NBA reffing. That's just me, though.
Here's my question. Is it impossible to ref a basketball game? Like, NBA refs suck. FIBA refs.
It's so true. It's so true. You're right. That is very, very difficult to ref. We got to keep it moving, though, guys, because I want to get a full Olympics preview in here. And I'm going to bring up the groups first, because the way it works in international play is you get group play, and then whoever wins in group play advances into the elimination round. And we'll go group by group. So we have group A here. You've got Iran, France, USA in check.
I
to
really
me,
like
this
Iran in that one.
You like, yeah, they're by far the weakest. I think this is the easiest group. I think there's the group of death and then the group of life, I guess. I don't know. This is the group of life. This is the easiest one. Am I wrong, Milan? U.S. and France seem head and shoulders above Iran and Czech Republic.
I don't know. Czech Republic defeated Canada and Greek team to get to this Olympic tournament. So, and Canada played, I think they have all players, in the best players for them to play, except Jamal, maybe.
But, right.
But yes, I think France and USA will go easily from here.
Yeah, I think it's pretty easy too. I mean, you could get an upset, but like Thomas Satoransky is the guy over there. I mean, that's not
no love for Jan Vesely.
Is Jan Vesely over there too?
Yeah,
dude, he's back, man. He's back.
No. That's hilarious.
There is a rumor Jan Vesely could play for Partizan Belgrade this
year. Oh, so. little Milan chime.
Yeah, Milan chime. Yeah. Milan, are you Partizan or Red Star? What's your team?
Red Star, of course.
No.
Well, of course.
Come on. Not even a question.
How could you even ask this one?
Miroslav is the other side.
Yeah, screw him.
That's
yeah.
why we hate him. That's why we Red Star hate him.
Yeah.
All right. I don't see too big of a surprise here. I agree with you, but let's go down here. It starts to get interesting. The other two groups are kind of crazy. So Group B, we've got Australia, Germany, Italy, Nigeria.
This looks like the group of death.
It might be. There's another group of death, though. This one's international basketball is getting better. Can you imagine, like, if Serbia was in this one and Brazil?
The thing is, and we talked about this on the show, they need to invite more teams to the Olympics. Like, that's the thing here.
Yeah, for sure. All right. Handicap this one for me, Milan.
I watched Nigeria against USA and Australia. So the clearly the best two teams here. But if Italy play like they play, actually, say if they shoot like they shoot against our team, they can maybe upset some of those two teams. You know, Australia had a great team 2016 Olympic game, and in the semifinals we defeated them 35 points.
Which team is this? Italy?
Australia had a great team, and we defeat them. So Australia can play really, really great, but they have a really bad days, and everything can go down for them. So it's a quite interesting group. But I will go with Nigeria and Australia here.
Okay. Who's more likely, the Czech Republic or Italy? Who's more likely to advance?
I would say Italy.
Okay. All righty. That's a good calibration for us. All right. This is the actual group of death, Group C. Look at this one, guys. Argentina, Japan, the host country, Spain, and Slovenia. This one, like Argentina, Spain, Slovenia, that's three of the, in my opinion, three of the top like six or seven teams of this whole thing. So one of those teams is going home. Who's it going to be? Who's advancing, Milan?
Spain and Slovenia.
I agree.
Wow. Oh, no. You made no fans amongst Argentina. So here's what's interesting.
Like, you know, I like Facu.
Yeah.
And I like Manu. Yeah. And I'm not like any other Argentina. they defeated us so many times in so many big games. I like Argentina as a country and as a people, but I don't like them as a basketball team. No. For me.
He's rooting against them. I like that. I'm asking him his expert opinion, and he's just like, I hate them. They're going to lose.
That's the same thing as an expert opinion. He knows these teams. He knows what the other side of basketball, X's and O's. We can all use a calculator to figure out who's going to win. I want to know who sucks.
Japan. Japan sucks.
Yeah.
So, they...
Well, here's the thing, Milan, that I find really interesting about this one. Is that Argentina and Slovenia play first. That's the first game. So that one, I think Spain is probably the better of the three or the most likely to win in pool play. Maybe I'm wrong on that. But Argentina and Slovenia play on Sunday night here in Denver, right off the bat, first game, and that probably determines who advances, at least in my mind. Would you agree?
15 points and plus for Slovenia in that game. Trust me.
They're already favored, or you? That's what you're saying. That's
my saying.
I mean, how can you like bet against the big two of Luka Doncic and Vlahko Čančar?
Yeah.
Oh, I already put out on bets today. There's an odds boost for Slovenia to win Group C.
That's on there for us, I think.
So Slovenia is favored by 5.5 on DraftKings Sportsbook. You're saying take the 5.5. They're going to smack them.
Easily.
Wow. All right. Betting advice with Milan. I like this.
Me too. I'm into it.
All right. So that's all of pool play here. I'm gonna X out.
You're right here. So what a shamefully small number of teams. Yeah,
I know, right?
What are you doing?
I just today saw groups and I was scrolling group A, group B, group C.
Yeah. What's
happening?
DEF?
Like, come where's group D? Yeah. Is there another group?
No.
Oh, yeah, that's it.
There are only 12 teams. You know, I hope that at least you have 16.
Yeah.
Or you know, I don't know what they're doing. So
they'll probably go to that very soon. If not for the Olympics, for the World Cup. The World Cup has more teams, I believe. But the world's getting so good that I just feel like we can keep adding teams. I mean, this year you could have had Lithuania. Could have been very good. You could have had, obviously, Serbia. Brazil usually has enough talent, you know, that you could fill the team. So there's a handful of teams that didn't make it this year that could have filled
Canada?
The team. Canada will be very good.
Greece. Giannis would play if Greece was there. Greece were there.
That'd be interesting. Yeah, Greece. I could see. You even have, you know, maybe Senegal. There's like a lot of players coming out of Senegal now, so maybe a Senegalese team. All right. So now let's handicap the rest of this here. I actually have the odds from. Let me see if I can pull these up. I have the odds from.
Miroslav says two teams that finished third also advanced. Yeah. So there's a little bit of a tiebreaker scenario there between a couple teams.
Oh, there is. Two teams that finish third advance. Oh, this is dumb. Then we know exactly who's going to go. It will be Czech and whoever the other one was. This is easy. All right. So that we just did the group play. But here are the odds on DraftKings Sportsbook. U.S., you know, -320. Australia is next at +750. Then Spain, then Slovenia. Do you feel like that's the appropriate top four most likely to win?
I would put Slovenia on the second.
Really?
Yeah.
You think they're the second best chance?
Yeah, I do. And I really hope they will do something great. I don't know if they can beat USA. No one can probably. But I will take them on the second.
Well, let me ask that question then. I mean, I'm not that impressed with the U.S. team. I actually think Drew Holiday is super important to that team. By the way, how weird is this? Have you guys heard? Booker, Middleton, and Drew Holiday are all flying on the same plane to go to Tokyo.
With Jeff Van Gundy. With Jeff Van Gundy also on the plane.
That might be the worst part of that whole story. That makes it significantly worse. But what a tough flight is. But, you know, Middleton and Booker are good players. In fact, Drew, probably not as good of a player as Booker. I don't know. It depends on how you value it. But I think Drew Holiday is so important because they don't have any defenders on the guard at the guard spot. I actually think USA's chance of getting the gold comes down to Drew Holiday and like how quickly he can assimilate into the team and play. Do you think I'm crazy for saying that?
No. You know what is? I don't think there is any matter who play for USA team if they play right way. I saw they play pick and roll all the time and that's it. You know who has the ball? He's shooting. Or anyone, there is no ball movement. There's no nothing, and you saw what Australians and Nigerians did to them. So, and there is you have Spain, you have Slovenia, who play really really great together. So they can be trouble. One bad game and you are out. So,
yeah, my feeling on this, Adam, just to piggyback on what you're saying, is this: I really think that the fact that Drew Holiday, Chris Middleton, Devin Booker coming in from the cauldron that is the NBA Finals. Like, they're like hard tempered at this point. They're going to come in not as maybe lackadaisical as some of the other US players, you know, that were just coming directly from Cancun, probably. Like, these guys are sort of in that, they're like, they've had like a day and a half off from being in the most intense games of their lives. So to me, it's like, I just see that being such a huge infusion of, you know, intensity and especially, you know Drew Holiday and Chris Middleton have a lot of synergy that they're going to bring. So I feel like adding those two players, like, or those three players, like, at this exact moment in time is just going to be enough to really turn the tide for the U.S.
The other side of that coin, though, is fatigue, because another way to put this is there's a lot of guys that are maybe tired. So do you think that, Eric, just
did you know, did they look, did any of them look tired to you? like in the NBA finals. Like, not, they didn't, to me at all. Like,
nah, but I think it's just natural that like you finish the finals and you're like, oh, like now I feel tired. You don't feel tired in the moment, but after you're like, man,
it could very well be. I just think that there's something about like just having so recently accessed that killer instinct, which is like kind of hard to get to and ladder up to.
You know, one thing that can help USA team is they will not have fans, I think, and you
that's
know
big, yeah.
Yeah, everyone will cheer against them, I guess. So, you know, that can help them a little bit, but you know,
that's see. Massive actually.
We will see. Yeah.
All right. So what about Spain? You seem kind of low on Spain.
I'm always low on Spain, but they keep proving me wrong, and you know, so I really don't want to talk much about them. But you know, they are Spain, and they can do a lot of bad stuff to my favorite team. So you know,
I love it.
I don't know who will play for them. To be honest, I didn't check.
Both Gasol brothers.
Spain has had the same team for the last 20 years. So true. Yeah, so just the same guys.
Yeah, I really hope they will stop playing basketball for.
It's so fun. I love that talking about like European countries to Milan is like us talking about like the Trailblazers. We're like, well, are they going to win? No, they suck. Like,
all right, give me the gold, silver, and bronze medalists, Milan.
Uh-huh. Okay. Let's go. To be real, you'll go USA.
Yeah, let's go.
USA, Slovenia, and I will go with Nigeria here.
Whoa. I bet today on Bet
Caleb Agata, baby,
that Australia would medal. Australia to medal. I put that. No?
Oh, no way.
No way, not even close. All right, we're going to take our last break. On the other side, though, I want to ask Milan about Will Barton, Michael Porter Jr., also Jokic, and then we're going to close out by inviting Ray Vaughn onto the show to try to climb the steps. If anybody's going to climb the steps, I think it's going to be Ray.
Can you get a chat? I have a good feeling about this one.
I have a good feeling, too. Go ahead, Harrison.
Right now, DraftKings Sportsbook, on the topic of the Olympics, you can place any pre-event wager of $1 to be eligible to cash $100 in free site credits if America wins any medal this year. So they got to win gold, silver, or bronze. You bet $1 on that, you win $100 in DraftKings site credits.
I'm putting 100 units on Slovenia, -5.5 right now.
To win it all?
No, to win on Sunday against Argentina, because Milan told me. He told me. I had the confidence in his eyes, by the way. I just could see it.
Full disclosure, man. I've got several units on France to beat the U.S. in the first game.
This is we were talking about this earlier. The best part about watching a international amateur competition is that they are not allowed to make money off of it. But we're definitely allowed to make money off of it. Let's go.
Like I said, 100-to-1 odds on an offer like this does not come around often. So get on DraftKings Sportsbook, download the app, use code DNVR to sign up, and get in on the action. Make sure to use promo code DNVR to turn $1 into $100 in free site credits for a limited time only at DraftKings Sportsbook. Must be 21 or older, Colorado only, new customers only. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. And if you have a gambling problem, call 1-800-522-4700. At Hassel Cattle Company right now, guys. At Hassel Cattle Company, DNVR listeners can get 10% off their order when you use the code DNVR10. You just use the code DNVR10 at checkout. Get 10% off your entire purchase. If you're in the area, if you're coming down to the DNVR bar, maybe you're coming down for draft night next Thursday. We're doing a draft show. We'll have the bar packed with people. You can try a Hassel Cattle Company burger down at the bar. Use code DNVR10 for 10% off at checkout.
Choked. He's choking away the reed.
Who are you, what? Chris Paul?
Look on, at dude. This.
Wow. So many reads, man. So many reads. My voice is worn out from the week. Just doing like five reads a podcast 5 days a week, man. Whew. It's brutal.
So tough.
Now, So now tough. Now that I'm this, all this information is coming to light. Maybe I don't like Drew Holiday and Chris Middleton. The fatigue that Harrison is going through just reading ads. Real, like, man. How are they going to come in after winning the NBA Finals?
It's real. Also just blocks away from the DNVR bar, check out Illegal Pete's. They've got happy hour going on every day from 3 to 6 p.m. $1 off drafts, $1 off house and corn style margs. Free chips and salsa. Thank God. Thank God.
There is justice in one place in the world, and it's an Illegal Pete's.
They also stir your burrito, like hell of a concept. They stir
it. Yeah, it goes well beyond justice into the sublime.
Yeah, but check out that happy hour from 3 to 6 p.m. at all of their locations. There are a bunch of them, including one box from the DNVR bar on East Colfax.
All right, good job, Wynn. I only had to play the song twice. all right, Milan, I want to ask you real quick, because I know you have, your Serbian co-hosts have told me you have some takes on Michael Porter. I know from even talking to you a little bit back that you were a little bit lower on Michael Porter than most. Look at this face. Wow. I have a feeling some five pepper takes are about to come in. But
do we have the fire hose to hose it down?
Where are you at with Michael Porter?
You know, I would really like to talk with him.
Oh. Us too, actually.
Man to man?
Yeah. Well, I thought to tell him some things I saw when he's on the court, maybe he really need in my mind to have some conversation with some good coach and you know.
Next week on Curious Mike, Milan.
I was gonna say, like,
and some stuff of how basketball really is played and. He can be a great player if he's.
This conversation, you know, happens. How do we make this happen?
I just picture like some basement closet room, you know, like Michael Porter gets led down there against his will. There's Milan. Like, have a seat. Pull up a seat. Yeah.
Just no cell phone service. On some Red Star film.
Yeah. So what is it you would tell him, Milan?
You know, he really can be a great player. I with my guys when we spoke, you know, I really he can drive me insane in most of the games, and I can see talent in him. I can see that he can play, and I don't speak about defense. You know, I don't think everyone
who cares about defense.
You know, everyone.
It's only half the game. Who cares?
Yeah, when they have something bad to say about MPJ, they go straight to defense. I'm not even going to go that road, you know. That is really, really some other discussion. But in offense, I really don't love what he's doing, you know. He relies strictly on his shot. You know, he has bad hands. When you guys saw in this last playoff run, when he take the ball and go to run on Rakhad, he falling apart, he fall on the ground, he slip. You know, there is problem. I don't know what that is, but clearly there is problem in his head. Maybe because in his head he is the best player in Denver, and that clearly is not the truth.
So, all right, based on what I've learned, Milan, I don't think this conversation you're going to have with him is going to go that well. I don't know. Like, if we did a little role play, Eric, if you're MPJ,
you want to talk defense.
A little role play here. Here he is. Michael Porter, thank you for joining us. I want to introduce you to Milan. Milan had a few things he'd like to share with you. Milan,
so I'm MPJ.
You're Michael Porter. Yes, you're Michael Porter.
Let me lick my lips for home.
Oh, geez. All right. Milan, what would you like to say?
My problem is because I watch him.
So, what's the problem? What's the problem?
I watch him and any NBA him? Player.
Me?
You. As any NBA player with my European eyes, you know. And I really hate when the basketball game look the way like you play, Eric. Or MPJ, however you want to call yourself.
I'm going to tell you, Milan. These are tough words to swallow, but I'm glad I'm hearing them. Yeah. So basically you're saying I play.
Finally.
Wow.
I'm going to take it to heart. So you're telling me I should change how I play basketball.
Yeah, definitely.
I'll do it. I'll do it.
Whoa! So, come on. He did it, man. He did it. I didn't think it was going to work, but it clearly worked.
I thought Mike would be more defensive, but
you know, Milan, I did hear there's an opening on the Nuggets coaching staff.
That's right. I did hear that.
You know that is true. That's why you accept my suggestions to you.
I'm nothing if not curious.
This was a terrible segment. Will Barton, he's available. Nuggets, that sounds, Mike Singer today was reporting that there is mutual interest. Both teams very confident or feel confident that something will get done. Should the Nuggets bring back Will Barton, and how should they handle whatever negotiations are to be had?
I really hope they will bring Barton. I don't know.
Wow.
I don't know the contract or any details about that, how that will look like. Somehow I really like Barton. He if we had him last in the bubble, I really think we would beat the Los Angeles Lakers in that series.
That's a great comment here. Yeah. Milan is MPJ's Balkan father figure. As he says,
my man.
Yeah, I was very uncomfortable with that whole
I do appreciate you not threatening physical violence against me as my father figure.
Because this is public, you know.
Sure. We'll take it offline. Take it offline.
All right. So last one I have for you, just Jokic. You know, I'm curious if you expect that this was an MVP season. It was his best season ever. Is next year, the regular season, not the best version, but the regular season, going to be better, worse, or the same for Jokic?
He need to be the same like he started last season. Definitely, because Jamal is out. We don't know what team then will start in regular season. So he really need to be.
Well, I agree. He needs to be. But what do you think he will be? You know, I agree. He needs to be awesome. You think he will be?
He will be. He the there was a, you know, that segment when he start bad season is long over him. So I don't think he will get back in bad shape or something like that, especially because of all these things happen with the national team, and you know, he will become father.
Oh yeah, so that's true.
That will be great for him. And you know, I remember this had nothing to do with basketball, but I remember when Novak Djokovic become father first time, he obliterated competition that year completely. I think it was 2011 or 2012. So I hope he will have that same effect on
man, if Jokic gets in Djokovic shape, it's going to be a wrap. Oh, my God.
Well, you know, you say this, but it's funny because I think Giannis and Jokic are very similar, like personality, approach, you know, these different things. I think they're different styles of play or whatever, obviously different parties. But I do wonder, Jokic, something clicked with him and what great shape he came into the season last year. And he got this time off. I'm so curious to see what he looks like physically coming into the year next year. If he comes in, you know, slightly overweight or much overweight like he did 2 years ago, does he come in just good shape like he did this year? Or does he build off of what he had this year and actually come in and we're like, oh, I see some muscles. You know, you didn't just come back the same. You came back even a little bit more. I'm so curious that.
I just feel like when you have a kid, I've never had a kid, so I'm not speaking from experience here.
Okay. Do you know a kid?
Yes, but like when you have a newborn, you're like always going. Like you're always going. There you don't have a lot of time to just sit and play video games and do nothing.
See,
you got to tend to the newborn. Like that's your life. But so
I got to push back here. I don't feel like I see a lot of new parents that are in like their best shape of their life. So I feel like there's a lot of like also eating mac and cheese because
totally
like there's a lot of like, but you know, so we'll see. I don't know. We'll
all right.
Definitely he will be great at the start of the season. I have no worries about it.
He's the top human, dude. It. Of course he will.
I love. I have no worries about it whatsoever. Kale, let's go ahead and bring on Ray here. I want to get Ray's perspective. He's been watching. He's been laughing. I've seen behind the scenes. Yeah. Ray, welcome in again, brother. Let me ask the same question. Jokic, is he going to come in the same shape as he came last year, which is, say, very good? Is he going to come in better shape, add some muscles, or is he going to be a little bit worse shape?
Adam, do you have your MVP bets in yet?
Oh, wait, what?
I feel like you should. I feel like it's a good time.
Jokic for MVP again?
Jokic for MVP. I mean, and look, we're talking about normal people. You and I, we have kids. We eat macaroni and cheese.
That's right.
NBA athletes, they have kids. Well, they get better. I don't know why.
Just like that, happens. Huh? Wow. That sounds like silence to me.
I love you, man. Okay. I really do. But for Jokic to win another MVP, there needs to be another pandemic sweeping over that hits everybody except Nikola Jokic.
He's got to average 50 a game to get the votes for MVP, man. Are we kidding me? Come on, man. They're not gonna vote him again. But you know what? I like your guys' confidence. That gets me excited. All right, we got to go quickly here because online something called Online with D-Line is getting ready to set up. But Ray, you are here. You are here. Yeah, never heard of it. You are here to compete on the steps.
Yes.
To try to redeem yourself. Harrison has made a list of questions. They were so hard. This is a true story. They were so hard. I said, hey, take some heat off of this, man. Like, I didn't even know. There's like five of them even I didn't know.
I'm such a – just take it easy on me, please.
Are you ready, Ray?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm
set. And you have Milan can help you. He can help you on this one.
I appreciate it.
With one question. He can help you with one question.
Okay, cool.
Question one, which teams did Milan think sucks? It's Spain.
Is that actually the question? No.
Whenever you're ready, Harrison.
Oh, I'm doing the questions. All right.
Yes.
Let me get the questions up.
Just like the ad reads.
Big show for me today. Question number one. What country is Jamal Murray from?
Canada.
That is correct. One for one.
All right.
Question number two. What number pick do the Nuggets have in the first round of the draft this year?
26.
26 is correct.
Go!
Okay.
So far, so good.
Moving right along here. Question number three. Nikola Jokic received his MVP trophy before game three against which team?
Oh, my gosh. It feels so long ago.
It was a while ago.
Wow. But I'm going to say the Phoenix Suns.
That is correct.
Oh, my God.
That was simultaneously the best, worst game in the history of Denver. Yeah. Right? We got Suns of War guy out of that and gave Jokic his MVP.
Heart palpitations over here.
Oh, man.
Question number four. The Nuggets beat the Blazers in the first round in how many games?
Ooh, for the first time in the Jokic era, less than seven, six games.
Let's go.
Wow, the cherry on top with the stat.
All right. So we. All right, you want your sticker pack, Ray?
Let's keep going.
Let's do it.
I'm always so offended by this. Like, what's wrong with my sticker packs?
I think that was only four questions, though, Adam. But
oh man, whoops, my bad.
That's okay. That's okay.
We can go to question five now. We can go to question five. I know Ray's going to get this one now. What DNVR sponsor can you get a free Sonicare toothbrush from?
Ooh, is it some color green Mountain Dental?
That's the one. That is the one.
I love our ad questions. They're incredible. They're the best.
I also love that Ray is on the East Coast.
I know.
Very not pertinent ad to
him. You never know. Yeah. Maybe one day I'll stop by.
Incredible.
Question number six. All right. We're going to get a little tougher here now that we're past question five. Where did Marcus Howard go to college? Where did Marcus Howard, who many are saying could lead the summer league in scoring this summer, where did he go to college?
Was it Marquette?
Yeah.
It was Marquette.
I like that. Gail's trying to hurry us up.
I don't know anything about college, so cool.
Didn't even wait for the final answer.
Gotta go quick here.
Question number seven. How many seasons has Paul Millsap played in Denver for?
Four.
That is correct. Four.
Question
also his number.
Yeah.
Question number eight. Who finished second in rebounds per game for the Nuggets this last season? Second in rebounds per game. Regular season and playoffs for the Nuggets
Michael this last Porter season. Jr.
That is correct.
Unbelievable.
It was Michael Porter.
Unbelievable. Think of what he's going to be able to do after this conversation with Milan, too. It's going to be amazing.
We'll see. All right. Question number nine. How many points did Damian Lillard score in game 5 versus Denver in these last playoffs?
See, that's the kind of thing that I wipe from my memory. I don't want to remember that. Milan, can I phone in?
51? 2 maybe? 3?
Somewhere in the 50s.
Yeah.
Oof. I'll go with 51. I trust Milan.
I'm sorry, Ray.
I thought it was 51 too. How much was it?
He's out of there.
It was 55. The double nickel. The double nickel.
No.
I thought Ray was going to win that one.
Don't get in your head about this one, Milan. You got.
I told you they were tough this week, man. They were tough. They were tough. And we took off some of the ones that were even more tough, but. You know, the steps aren't easy, guys, as we've learned with the Nuggets over these years. To not skip steps takes patience, it takes dedication, it takes talent, it takes a little bit of luck. Ray,
you may want to skip the steps, but they will not skip you. They will send you right back down.
Milan, you're a fantastic guest, man. This was fun. Thank you so much for coming on.
Glad to have me. Glad to have me.
Yeah, for sure. Everybody else, have a great, safe weekend. Watch some basketball, watch some Olympics, and we're going to be right back at this next week. Guess what next week is, guys? Draft week. It's a big week for the Denver Nuggets. Should be very exciting. We'll see everybody next time.
Let's go.
Bye, guys.
Right now at Green Mountain Dental Group, you get a free Sonicare toothbrush when you schedule a cleaning, x-ray, and exam. Green Mountain Dental Group, located just 15 minutes from downtown Denver. They're great at what they do. A lot of us here at DNVR, we actually go there to get everything done, from getting cavities filled. Some of us have gotten our wisdom teeth out. Just a routine cleaning. They're the go-to spot for that. When you schedule a cleaning, x-ray, and exam at Green Mountain Dental Group right now, you'll get a free Sonicare toothbrush, top-of-the-line electric toothbrush. I know a lot of dentists around the state, around the country, actually recommend Sonicare. I was talking to one the other day who did. Get a free one of those, a free Sonicare toothbrush, when you schedule a cleaning, x-ray, and exam at Green Mountain Dental Group.
First taste of rare bourbon you finally got your hands on. That's nice. At Caskers.com, we make this experience easy. Caskers is a one-stop spirit curator with an impressive selection of exclusive, sought-after, rare, and household names in the realm of premium spirits and champagne. Discover the top flavors of the year now by going to Caskers.com and using code WELCOME10 for $10 off your first purchase. Get $10 off your first purchase with code WELCOME10 at Caskers.com.